I'm going to start the show here with this, Jason, and I'm sorry, but it's another instance where I just have to look at you and tell you that I was right about one of my theories and that you were wrong.
According to the Twitter poll, you were wrong.
Oh, about baseball being a non-contact sport?
Yeah, I was fully prepared. Is that not where we're going? I was ready for that one again.
No, we're not going there.
Oof, okay.
We're going to the Patriots running back situation being a blessing.
Oh, right, okay.
Okay. So not only did Mike Gillisley say it's the most talented, deepest backfield he's ever been a part of. Forget that. Well, the Patriots have 5 injuries at wide receiver right now, okay? 5 of the 11 wide receivers they have in camp are banged up or fully injured. Chris, and again, we're hearing nothing. No one's out for the season, okay? But Chris Hogan left practice today, ice on the knees, Malcolm Mitchell banged up, Danny Amendola banged up. Okay, lots of guys injured and banged up. And while I fully believe that none of these injuries from today will have any impact on the Patriots season at hand, you do see that these wide receivers of the Patriots have a potential to miss some time. At the very least, Jason, you have to admit, as with any position in the NFL, these players have a chance to miss time. Danny Amendola is getting older. Malcolm Mitchell has been injured in the past. Chris Hogan, now you see the knees flaring up. This wide receiver could be a trouble spot health-wise for the Patriots. Fair to say, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if that's a thought that we might have, that you have wide receivers that could potentially be injured, then what's a good way to get around that?
To have Tom Brady.
To have running backs that can receive out of the backfield and to have running backs that can line up at the wide receiver position. If we're talking about 5 wide receivers out of 11 here that have nagging injuries here in training camp. Again, all 5 of them will probably be fine by the time the season comes around. That's not what this is about. I'm not trying to worry you and say Danny Amendola is injured for X amount of time, because he's not. They'll be okay based on these injuries. But if the Patriots wide receivers have a chance to be injured, you're not finding great wide receivers off the scrap heap. You're finding the wide receivers that could fill their places in their tight end group with Rob Gronkowski and Dwayne Allen, and with those running backs that can split out wide. That's why having 4 running backs is such a blessing for the Pats. Not only can they line up in the backfield, not only can they line up in the shotgun next to Tom Brady, they can catch out of the backfield and they can line up at wide receiver. Deion Lewis can go one-on-one with a linebacker. James White can go one-on-one with a linebacker. Rex Burkhead can go one-on-one with a linebacker. They can go one-on-one with a safety in certain cases. These guys help the overall depth not only of the running back group, but also of the wide receiver group. And that overall depth is going to be, you're going to see it. And if the Patriots go through and their entire wide receiver group stays healthy the entire year, then great. You've got 4 running backs that can do the job at running back and can be a dimension in the passing game. If it goes the other way and Patriot wide receivers are injured and any of them are out for an extended amount of time, you can do some things creatively with your running backs to alleviate those losses. How is that not another win, another byproduct here of the Patriots having depth at running back?
I agree with the point you just made. I just still think it's too many cooks in the kitchen that guys won't get enough reps and be ready.
But it's the same thing we said about Christian McCaffrey, right? When we talked about Christian McCaffrey yesterday, and this proves even more that I would have loved to have seen Christian McCaffrey in New England. As much as I'm not a Patriot fan, the creativity that I think teams can use with McCaffrey, his ability to be an element in the pass game and the run game, I think is going to be astounding to watch. It's going to be fascinating. It's one of the biggest player personnel stories that I have on my mind all season. It's just how the Panthers are using McCaffrey. Well, the Patriots can use Deion Lewis and James White in similar packages, similar ways. If I tell you the Patriots are going to run for 150 yards and Gillisley's going to get 50 and White's going to get 25 and Lewis is going to get 25 and Burkhead's going to get 35 and whatever, Edelman's going to run for 15, the numbers are going to be there. And then if you talk about overall touches, well, okay, Gillisley's going to get 9 carries. He's going to get 12 carries. Lewis is going to get 6 carries and 3 receptions. White's going to get 6 carries and 3 receptions. Burkhead's going to get 6 carries and 3 receptions. Now, we've run it as a team 25, 30 times and worn down your defensive line come the fourth quarter, and we've got everybody touches there in ample ways that the unpredictability of our offense is so good. That's what you want in the NFL, is you won't want to be, you always hear the term one-dimensional. You don't want to be one-dimensional. Why did I tell you the other day we did 32 teams in 32 days? that I don't think the Ravens are a realistic contender in the AFC because I think they have such a vanilla offense. Okay, Terrence West and Danny Woodhead, they don't scare me at the running back position. So I know it's Joe Flacco throwing to a bunch of other people that most people haven't even heard of in Breshad Perriman and Jeremy Maclin, an aged Jeremy Maclin. It's a vanilla offense. The Patriots, they don't have that, okay? They have depth at running back. They have 5-6 wide receivers, and they have running backs that can be further depth by acting as wide receivers. They've got two tight ends, Gronk, which can line up in the, you know, has lined up at wide receiver before. How does versatility and the ability to have depth and be multifaceted in offense, how does that not keep AFC East coaches and AFC coaches just up all night? I know it would keep me up all night.
I mean, I agree with that there, and I also think that I think a lot of things about what you just said, but I think the Patriots are helped by having, you know, 5 guaranteed wins every year because they going to beat the Jets twice, going to beat the Dolphins once or twice, going to beat the Bills once or twice. But I think any team that's that good is going to keep you up at night. But I wanted to say this because you talked about not having a vanilla offense. What happened to the days when there were 2 backs in there and you actually thought the second guy was going to run it? Now pretty much the fullback just blocks.
Yeah, well, the fullback doesn't even exist in most cases anymore. Most teams don't even go with a fullback because a lot of teams use the shotgun. And when you use the shotgun, it's either 2 backs that are split next to the quarterback, one on the right, one on the left, or it's 1 back that's right that's right next to him. Most teams, the days of the straight 2 wide receivers I formation, a lot of those days are done because a lot of these quarterbacks that are coming in, they've never played with that. College is full of spread offense, run and gun, fun and gun. They're spread out that way. A lot of the fullback, the days of Mike Allstott are largely done. Not in every case. The Seahawks have used them before. Buffalo's used it before. But when you use those fullbacks, a lot of them are kind of hybrid players. You know, Mike Gillisley is built like a fullback, but he is a running back. LeGarrette Blount is built like a fullback, but he is a running back. Charles Clay in Buffalo is built like a fullback, lines up there occasionally and plays tight end. So a lot, if you're going to have the fullback on your roster, he's going to be a bit of a hybrid. Champlain Valley game night here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. We'll get to the Red Sox lineups here in about 8 minutes or so. The thing I read that was so interesting today about Patriots camp, and as Tom Brady turns 40, if you want to get into the text line on this, just with your overall reaction, I don't even know if I expect you to have an opinion on either side of this. I'm just curious for those of you that do. Tom Brady is being very, very quiet at camp. And I read that and I thought it was interesting because usually when we see Tom Brady at training camp, he's having fun, he's joking, he's laughing, he's smiling, he's swearing, he's doing all the things that you expect a guy who's been in the league for 17 years to do. He's acting loose, not too loose, but loose. But now, the narrative around Brady has changed in this camp, apparently. He hasn't talked to the media yet. He enters practice through the back door, basically, rather than out front of everybody. And my curiosity is to why. What is the reasoning behind Tom Brady's decision to be quieter and more focused appearing, I guess? I would never say Tom Brady ever lacked focus, but I think he looks like he's really got even more focus to him this year. What would be the reasoning for that? I mean, is it that he knows that the team kept Jimmy Garoppolo for a reason and he's out there now to be even more focused and prove to everyone that they're wrong if they think Garoppolo is going to take over for him? Is it that he views Garoppolo and Brissett as rivals? Is it that he's trying to prove Father Time wrong and he knows that it requires every ounce of his energy to do that? I just want to know what the reason. I'm not saying it's bad. I just want to know what the reason is for Tom Brady to be quieter on the field, to have a different demeanor, why he's going in a different entrance to practice. Again, I'm not saying it's bad. I just want to know. I mean, for the last 2 practices, Brady's taken the field through the back entrance instead of walking up the steps with the rest of the team. This comes from Henry McKenna of Patriots Wire. When he walks up the steps, his arrival draws huge crowds. Here's huge cheers from the crowd, but when he goes through the backfield, it's much more inconspicuous. Few have even noticed that he's arrived. I wonder what the reasoning for that is. And I guess my other question is this. If he's being so quiet and focused on the field, what is his relationship like with Jimmy Garoppolo? That's what I want to know. We've heard all along they get along and that they're good teammates, and I think we always expect that the older player, that the veteran, is helping the younger player, that they're sitting in the quarterback room together and going over defenses, that they're sitting in the quarterback room together and talking about their game plans and going over receivers and route combinations. Is Tom Brady not doing that with Jimmy Garoppolo? And if he's not doing that, is that because he's trying to beat Garoppolo and prove that he belongs with the job? Is he fearful of Garoppolo? How often is that a total misnomer that the backup quarterback never gets that kind of attention from the starting quarterback? Again, I don't know what the right answer is. I don't know what the right answer is, but I'm curious because it is a difference in approach from Tom Brady. I want to know what it stems from.
Well, we're never going to know 100%, but we do know this, that Jimmy Garoppolo was honest when he said that he felt he could be a starter in this league, and he said the right things in saying that he's happy where he is because he has one more year left in his contract. I don't know. If I was him, I might have just wanted to be traded at this point, because if the goal is to only win championships, you could probably sit behind Tom Brady and maybe win another. But if your goal is to actually play, you probably should try to get out of there. But the interesting thing is, does he think he's going to be there? And how long does he think Tom Brady has left? And what is he hearing from guys in the organization about what they actually think about his chances to actually play?
Again, I'm only looking at this. I'm looking at this from how I would handle things. I am not putting thoughts in Garoppolo or Brady's head here. But I could easily see either side of this, how they're rivals with each other. If I'm Tom Brady, I could see myself saying, look, kid, you are not coming here to take my spot. I will not go out of my way to help you, talk to you, anything, because you are coming for my spot, and I do not want you to have that. I don't know that Brady's doing that, but I could see myself doing that. Picture yourself, you're a senior on the varsity team. You expect to be playing, and a freshman has come up to the team. Are you going to take, if that guy can take your spot, are you really going to be giving him that opportunity? Are you going to be teaching him tricks of the trade to help him? I don't know that I would. Conversely, if I'm Garoppolo, I could easily sit here and say, I'm not going to sit here and praise Brady. I'm rooting for him to fail. We've already got the rings. I want him to fail so that I can get the chance to and run with it and prove that it should be my job. I don't know that either one of them think that, but I could see myself thinking that if I'm in their shoes. And maybe when you're conditioned as a pro athlete and you've been in the league for four years in Garoppolo's case, or 20, almost 20 years, and maybe that selfishness gets knocked out of you, or maybe it doesn't. Maybe the same things we inherently feel as high school athletes, we'd feel as professional athletes too. I don't know if they're feeling that way. I just wonder if they're feeling that way.